Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I am delighted to be back in studio. Haven't been here for 3 days. Hope you have enjoyed the broadcast during the last 3 days. I was released from the hospital about 9:30 last night after 5 sessions of chemotherapy and a blood transfusion, and back in the saddle early this morning, and grateful to be on the broadcast again tonight. The first thing on my mind today is our year end. We are approaching the end of our fiscal year, and as I've said over the years, I've been doing this almost 30 years, this is one of those critical months in our history every single year. And so we ask people in a very special way, we try not to overdo it, but we let people know what the need is. If you don't ask, you will not receive. And so we are asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. This ministry, Beyond the Peradventure of a Doubt, is making a difference in the lives of people all over the globe. I see the testimonies myself virtually every single day. Sometimes I read them on the air. Sometimes I don't. I got a number of them handed to me today as I came into the studio. David, for example, says, in prayer for you and CRI, over 2 years ago, I had hoped for a healing miracle, but prayed for God's will to be done. Even though a healing miracle has occurred in my life, I'm just as dependent upon his healing hand as ever, because as you have said, Jesus holds our every breath in his hands, whether we have cancer or not. So a word of encouragement. I also have a little note here by a man named Jim. And he writes, Dear Mr. Hanegraaff, I have a friend who has successfully come through first lymphoma and recently bone marrow stem cells to replace his own bone marrow due to a leukemia. So, wow, lymphoma and leukemia. He seems to be okay. I'm pulling for you, as those of us who know you do, if only from the radio. But nonetheless, we appreciate you and care very much for you. I pray that God will grant you his perfect will and kindly extend your time here to labor yet more for him. From a thankful friend. I mean, it's these kinds of encouraging letters and prayers that's been absolutely incredible to me. And these are the kind of people that are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and we're asking you to join that team. We're not asking you to give to this ministry, but we're asking you to give through this ministry so that you might touch the lives of people for time and for eternity. I want to say a little bit about a biblical view of wealth before we go to our Facebook questions as well as our live questions. Do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, 888-ASK-HANK. You can start dialing that number right now, numerically, the number 888-275-4265. Our contact information for those of you that want to give via the mail, and we only have a week to do it. I mean, it's kind of nice now in the sense that we have a very narrow window. It's very definable. We know what we need. We have a week for the Lord to provide that need. The Lord has always been faithful. So next Friday at this time is sort of D-Day for us. And so if you have some of the Lord's resources and you can give to this ministry, please do that. You can give in a safe, secure fashion, again, via the mailbox 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also give via the web, equip.org. That's also safe and secure. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, that number, 888-7000 and the letter C. Right. We also have an app. I don't know if you have the Equip app, but if you have the CRI app, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the app as well. You can go to the website at equip.org to download our CRI Equip app. So here's what you're looking for, equip.org/app. And of course, not only can you give on the app, you can listen, you can learn, you can share. We also have many other ways that we're reaching out to people through podcasts. If you haven't gone to iTunes and subscribed to our podcast there or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts, you can do so, or you can listen on the web at equip.org as well. We have four up right now, I think it is, at least three or four, and we continue to do them on a weekly basis. This is one of the most enriching ways of touching your life that I can think of. I'm talking to some of the brightest minds in the Christian world. The conversations are all conversations you want to listen in on, and you have the opportunity to do that through the podcast. So please take advantage of that. I also continue to do Facebook Live. In fact, I guess it wasn't yesterday. It was the day before yesterday. I did a broadcast, a Facebook Live broadcast. You go to Bible Answer Man Facebook page. It's always the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And you can listen to it if you haven't listened to it. But I'm in the hospital room. I'm receiving chemotherapy. And between some chemotherapy sessions from 3, I think it was, to 4, because the chemo started again at 4, I did a Facebook Live. I kind of show my hospital room and then answer people's questions and enjoy their comments and have a good time. Facebook Live. If you haven't seen it, again, check it out on our Facebook page, the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. But again, I want to say a couple of things about giving, and then we'll go to our callers. A lot of you calling in, 888-ASK-HANK. The first thing I want to mention is that I am persuaded. And by the way, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself, but I'm persuaded that the Bible teaches responsibility associated with wealth. And I suppose from the standpoint of the broader globe, all of us, or the vast majority to whom I'm speaking right now, are wealthy. God's Word encourages us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. And it's not just money. I don't mean to trivialize everything to what you actually give, because the giving of your time, the giving of your talent is very significant for kingdom purposes. But obviously, we ask that people support this ministry financially as well. It's a very practical way in which you can continue to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Why? Well, it's crucial to realize that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live therein. So the bottom line here, according to the text, is that God is the landlord. We are just tenants. We didn't arrive with anything, and we will not take anything with us when we leave. And I was thinking about that when I was in the hospital room. The other day, I had a complication as a result of the Rituxan that I was taking, one of the chemos. And so I went from uncontrollable shaking until I finally reached equilibrium to finally having my the amount that's being pumped into you and the speed with which it's being pumped into you bumped up a little bit. And then I had a fever of 101. So I had to calm it down again. So I had some complications. But when you're laying there, you recognize this statement is very, very true. I mean, every single breath is held in the hollow of the Lord's hand. We didn't come with anything. We're not going to leave with anything. So in those moments, you think, when I stand before you, Lord, are you going to be pleased with how I used my time and my talent and my treasure? So it's important to view wealth with eternity in mind, to lead our lives here down below as responsible stewards, whether we have a little or a lot, so that one day at the judgment, God himself will reward us. So ultimately, it's not our bank statement on earth that counts. It's the one in heaven. And I want to share just one verse with you and then go on to the questions. And that is this. The Bible chronicles the prayer of David. And I love this prayer because David is thanking God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. So this is what David says. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And I think about that verse, because as a result of the giving, a temple is built. And that temple contained the glory of God. And that temple remained significant to the children of Israel. Because through that temple, the priest gave sacrifices pointing to an ultimate sacrificial lamb. So there was immense significance to the temple. It had a huge, huge impact on the world. In fact, only from the perspective of eternity will we fully know how huge that impact was. Of course, when Christ came, there's no need for the temple, but that temple was the way shower, as it were, to Christ. So Christ comes, and that temple has made a huge difference in the meantime. And so I suppose that what I'm saying here is that there's no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we too catch the joy of contagious giving. We would be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe. We would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick. And like our forefathers, our generation might yet leave an indelible mark on this world. So what does Solomon say in Proverbs? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, the arm of the Lord is longer than yours, and he will supply to you as you supply to ministries. God ordains the ends as well as the means. He doesn't need our money, but he is teaching us something through giving. And so give as you've been given, give generously. If you love this ministry, if this ministry has made a difference in your life, if you're seeing the difference it's making in the lives of others, in this last week we're asking people to give and give generously. You can do so again in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We do have some excellent resources. I'm not going to take the time. Well, maybe I will. I'll take the time to talk about them for a few minutes because I'm fairly close to going to break. I will get to our calls. We've got people calling in, 888 to ask Hank, and I'll go live to your calls right after the break and try to stick to that. But we have a book by Russell Moore. He's a terrific guy. He's a change agent, really, in the culture at this time. He's a Southern Baptist. He's teaching us how to engage the culture without losing the gospel, the subtitle of his book. Now, this is one of those books that is, I was going to say it's easy reading, but I don't mean to marginalize the book in any way. It's just very accessible. When you read the book, it's not something like, well, you're getting lost in the language and you want to put it down because you can only digest a few paragraphs. It's something that really engages you. And keeps you going through the book. Russell is very, very good at storytelling and using the power of story to communicate logical truth propositions. And then there's Rod Dreher. You know, one of my podcasts was done with Rod Dreher. He's just an unbelievable individual. I dubbed him the most interesting man in the world. I think I stole that from a beer commercial, but he is just so interesting and so quotable that as I read his book, that's the thought that kept going through my mind. This is a very interesting man with a very interesting message, informative, critical for our time, because it's a strategy for Christians living in a post-Christian nation. Again, it's called The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher. Probably the most talked about book right now in the Christian world. Available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or again, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I better not give out the number to call because there are many people calling in. Hopefully I get to all of you. Resource consultants standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And again, thank you from the bottom of my heart to those who are already standing with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. We'll be right back.
When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We are seeing the advent of post-truth culture with ferocious social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility. We as Western Christians are in a fight for our lives. This is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere a very timely book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore. This remarkable book will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we will go now directly to our phone callers. First up is John in Auburn Hills, Michigan. And John is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. Good. Thanks for taking my call. And, me and my family was praying for your family and your speedy recovery.
Thank you.
Just a quick pretext to the question. Bear with me. A couple days ago, took my mom. We went to see the new Transformers movie. And afterwards, she was rather bothered about the way the writers borrowed themes and narratives and different things from the Book of Revelation, sets up kind of an apocalyptic plot. With that in mind, how are we as Christians supposed to assess, react, feel about movies that borrow or take inspiration or borrow narratives and themes and different things from the Bible and put them into a secular sense? Really talking more about the more innocuous, generic ones. I know there's some movies out there that we just don't go near, and I don't. But wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to feel sorry for the people because the people really don't have a clue about what they're borrowing. They don't know the riches of the Book of Revelation. Unfortunately, the problem there is not only with secular movie producers, but the problem is also with many people in the church as well. They don't know how to read the Book of Revelation in the sense in which it's intended. And so they typically use this in some apocalyptic 21st century sense. And even Al Gore, when he's talking about global warming, did this. He said, this global warming we're experiencing right now is like taking a trek through the Book of Revelation. In other words, it's like everything that we have in Revelation now coming true as a result of global warming. Well, whether you believe in global warming or not, or what you consider the cause of global warming to be, is not my point at this point. My point is simply to say that Al Gore has no clue what the Book of Revelation is all about. And I think that's the systemic problem. It is learning to read the biblical text in the sense in which it is intended. And there's no greater example of where we've got to get good at this than the Book of Revelation. And the way this all starts is just to go to the very first chapter. And then you find out that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John to show him what must soon take place. So John, as a result of the revelation of Jesus Christ, is writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and he's simply telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They are going to go through a tempestuous time. They're going to lose the very edifice that gave them their spiritual and their social significance, the temple. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. It's going to be eventually plowed over, as it were, like a field. You won't even know that a city endured there for all these centuries. And so it's going to be apocalyptic. When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age of sacrifice? Well, John is explaining it's about to happen. The end of the age of sacrifice is near. This will happen soon. So what does John do in response? Well, he writes seven letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult that are going to endure this apocalypse. And he's saying, don't do the same thing that the prostituted bride has done. Don't go to bed with the beast. Don't go to bed with the Roman Empire. Don't go to bed with the world. But instead, stand faithful. Because if you do, you will receive a crown, an everlasting crown. And you will be counted with the full complement of God's people that Christ carries over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem, which is depicted, of course, in Revelation chapter 21. And then you see the eternal state in full view in Revelation chapter 22. So this book is no different than the other books of the Bible in this regard. It's written to first century people about a first century situation. Wasn't written to us, it was written for us. It was written to them, just like the book of Romans is written to Romans. My point here is simply to say that people have taken the book of Revelation and prostituted it. Now, you can talk about application, because there have been catastrophes in every single epoch of time. Certainly in our epoch of time, if you want to think about an apocalypse, all you have to do is think about what's happening to Christians in the Middle East. They're squarely in the blind spot of the West, but they are facing an apocalypse. So the words of Revelation apply to them, right? Be faithful and fruitful. You're going to suffer. They may cut off your fingertips. They may crucify you. They may execute you in some other fashion or exile you, but even though you lose all the world's possessions, be faithful, be fruitful. Your reward is ultimately an eternal reward. So it is the message of the Bible encapsulated in a book, and it's a beautiful book, but you got to learn how to read it. And unfortunately, the world doesn't know how to read it. I think even more systemically problematic is that the church no longer seems to know how to read the book of Revelation. I wrote a book about this called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. It does teach you how to read the book of Revelation for all it's worth. Margaret next in California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Oh, and thank you for taking my call, and God bless you. I have a statement to make regarding your health. I don't get to listen to you regularly, but I just happened into you today, and I would like to share this with you. December 26th of 2011, I was diagnosed with stage 4 small cell neuroendocrine carcinoma, incurable. Life expectancy was 10 years. So again, that was diagnosed in 2011. Well, just as of May 30th of 2015, my oncologist informed me I was cancer-free.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm elated, though I have to be honest, I was a little disappointed because I do believe in our Lord with all of my heart. And I was looking forward, looking forward to that in spite of the fact that, you know, people see this as a negative thing, cancer. I want to be giddy with anticipation when my time comes to meet our Lord. But I just wanted to give you that that statement from my doctor that I am now cancer-free, and I don't know, is this a miracle? That's the only thing I can get to, that this is a miracle. What else could it possibly be other than, as my oncologist termed it, me? He says, I cured you. So I bless my cancer team and everyone involved, my family, my friends, strangers even. But, Hank, I wanted to give you that I am a very pessimistic person to a degree, and my gosh, here I am, you know, cancer-free after 6 years, going on seven.
Wow.
And I know it can return, but still, Is this a miracle? Is it a miracle?
Yeah, first of all, let me say that that was one of the most eloquent testimonies I have ever heard on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I've been doing this broadcast for 30 years, particularly the part about being giddy, which is a perfect way of describing how we should feel, because the alternative to not being healed in this world is the best of all possibilities, because we will be in the presence of the Lord. And so I really appreciate your testimony, and we don't know. I mean, obviously the whole thing is a miracle in many different ways. A miracle in terms of the transformation of the person. A miracle in that God can supernaturally heal you. I don't know the circumstances of your life and your situation well enough to speak authoritatively, but I can tell you, Margaret, that not a single day goes by that I do not picture myself touching the hem of Christ's garment and asking the Lord to allow the healing virtue to flow into my body. There's not a, I shouldn't say there's not a day, but there are very few days that go by that I do not anoint myself or have someone anoint me with oil and pray in accordance with James chapter 5. But again, I recognize that it is not the anointing or even my prayer for someone's salvation that ultimately makes the difference. It is the will of God. I have to be faithful to do what I'm called to do and then leave the rest in the Lord's hands and just ultimately trust Him. And the thing that I do know with certainty, given your testimony, is that your priorities are in exactly the right place. And the great wonder of it all is, Margaret, that you are left here for a purpose, and that is to be a testimony to His goodness and grace, which you've just been.
Oh, well, thank you for that, because I didn't write this down. I didn't become prepared. It just came from the heart. But yes, my belief, too, is it's God's will. I prayed that every day many times. You know, God, help me with this, help me with that, but Your will be done.
Amen.
And I believe in that. Also, I would... And thank you again, Hank. Thank you from my heart. I esteem you. You're a very intelligent, gracious, honorable man, and
thank
I esteem you.
Thank you.
My son is a Buddhist, and he's 46. He's been in the military for, 47. He's been in the military for, almost 20 years. And he is, the past 3 years, they moved him out here. He asked to be relocated to be, he was in on the East Coast. And he was asked to be relocated, you know, nearer to me because of my health condition. Well, he's now in the Coast Guard, in the National Guard, for the past almost 3 years. And this, since January, he has been going into a slump. And I don't even know if you, other than prayer, I don't know what to do for my son. He's not paid his bills. He does. Luckily, he was able to withdraw some of his money from his military accounts to cover him, you know, to take care of all the things that he didn't bother to pay, his car insurance, rent, etc. And he's not a drug addict, but he does drink alcohol, but he's cutting down on that. And this is my big worry, that he was my only reason for really not wanting to leave. He's my only child. If I didn't have Robert, I don't know if I would have gone through chemo or not. By the way, I went to 2.5 years of chemo procedure or chemoembolization.
Hey, Margaret, I don't mean to be rude or disrespectful in any way. I'm just right up against the clock, and I have no choice but to cut you off there. Let me talk a little bit about Buddhism and maybe the situation with your son. If you continue listening, when I come back from the break, I'd like to pick it up and give you an answer regarding Buddhism. We'll be right back.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Other topics include the divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims, challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, when freedom of expression and emotions collide on campus, does God have a spirit body, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of post-truth culture, and it's changing the West for the worst. What's needed now in shifting times, says Russell Moore, is neither a doubling down on the status quo nor a pullback into isolation. Instead, we need a church that speaks to social and political issues with a bigger vision in mind, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moore's book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, will equip you to refocus and make a difference for time and for eternity. To receive your copy of Onward as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day is from Proverbs 25:11. And I was thinking about Margaret actually giving the testimony that she did. Our last caller, I think she's still with us, hanging on the line. But I was thinking about her testimony. This proverb came to mind in relationship to someone else as well this week, and I thought I'd use it as a quote of the day, and then I have Margaret with her testimony. But this quote is precious to me, and hopefully it'll be to you as well. of course, it comes from the inspired word of God, like apples of gold in settings of silver, is a word spoken in right circumstances. In other words, the right word at the right time is incredibly meaningful. And this week, when I was in the hospital, I got the right word at the right time from someone who's given me the right word at the right time many, many times during my journey, my Christian journey, my Christian walk, my development as a Christian. And couldn't help but thinking how apropos this particular proverb is, not only to my friend, the friend that I'm referring to, but to Margaret as well. Margaret, let me say just a little something about Buddhism, and then maybe we can discuss a little more about your son's situation. You still with me?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so the essence of Buddhism, of course, is Four Noble Truths. And I think the reason I want to explain this to you is there's some commonality between Christianity and Buddhism, believe it or not. In other words, there's a bridge between Buddhism and some of their basic beliefs and giving a Christian witness or testimony. So they have these noble truths, the first of which is all life is suffering. And I think to some degree, we can say this is true. In this world, you will have trouble, said Jesus, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, in Revelation, we recognize there's going to come a time where there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, but now there's all of those things. So all of life is suffering. The second truth is that the source of suffering is desire and attachment because all is impermanent. And I suppose there's a sense in which we can say that. We would qualify that in a lot of different ways from the Buddhist worldview. But it is true. I mean, what we have now is very, very temporary. I mean, you can have a Rolls Royce and a Taj Mahal. You can have fame, but it's all impermanent. Ultimately, you're going to stand before God, and what really matters is for Him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Their third noble truth is that liberation from suffering is found in the elimination of desire. Well, we would say it's to reorder our desires. We would say that the real solution comes in ordering our life around the divine, being far more attached to the city of God, as you were talking about in your testimony, than the city of man. And then their fourth noble truth, pretty interesting, is that desire is eliminated by following what's called an eightfold path. And I'm not going to elaborate on this a whole lot except to say this eightfold path has to do with right understanding, thought, speech, action, livelihood, effort, awareness, meditation. I might have missed one here, but that's the basic eightfold path. Now, the problem with their eightfold path is how it is achieved. There's nothing wrong with having right understanding or right thought or right speech or right livelihood or right action or right meditation, meditation properly understood, or right awareness or effort. All of those things are good, but how is it achieved in Buddhism? It is achieved through reincarnation. And that is really the hell of Buddhism. You go round and round and round until you achieve this nirvanic realization of no self, and therefore liberation from suffering and escaping the endless cycle of life, death, and rebirth. So if you're a Buddhist and things aren't going well, you're drinking, you're not paying your debts, and everything's spiraling out of control, you become very depressed. Why? Because your option is to come back in some lower form of either humanity, lower scale, if you were a prince or a pauper, or maybe even come back as a dog or a cow or a thistle or some other kind of weed. So all of this is very, very depressing, whereas in Christianity, just contrast yourself with your son. In Christianity, you are giddy about either option. If you were healed, if a miracle occurs, such as what occurred in your life, then you say, wow, I've been left here for a purpose. Maybe, as you alluded to, I've been left here to really make a difference in the life of my son. If not, well, this world, it has its good points, but certainly not comparable to the world to come, and therefore you're looking forward to the fellowship of the Lord and to the saints who have gone on before. So yours is not depressing. It's exhilarating, making you giddy. His worldview always leads to depression. And I've seen this over and over again. I spent a lot of time in Eastern countries, in places like Myanmar, formerly Burma, or Vietnam, or Cambodia, or China, or Thailand. I mean, so many of these Buddhist countries, and you see the Buddhist priests, I mean, they don't look like something you want to emulate. I mean, many of them, and I've gotten conversations with them, wonderful conversations with them, many of them have something to offer from a human perspective, from the perspective of kindness and so forth. But overall, the prospects are fairly bleak and gloomy, whereas our prospects are not endless reincarnations until you achieve oneness with nirvana, but resurrection, where this body that is now broken is resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you, because I didn't know about the reincarnation thing with Buddhism, insofar as that you come back at a lower form.
Yeah, it's Buddhism is actually a historical offshoot of Hinduism, you know, and Hinduism has many gods. In Buddhism, you're trying to find your hope in what's called a triple gem. So you're trying to find your hope in Buddha, who became enlightened. So you're hoping that eventually you'll become enlightened. And you're trying to find refuge in his teachings, what are called dharma, or you're trying to find refuge in the community of Buddhist priests. So that community gives you a sanctuary, as it were. So that's kind of the Buddhist worldview. Again, an offshoot of Hinduism, but not with its rank polytheism, at least not in the same sense.
All right. Well, I thank you for this also, and just pray for my son, Robert.
Well, let's pray for him right now. Father, thank you so much for Margaret and for her her words, which truly were like apples of gold in settings of silver, spoken in the right circumstance, an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to many, many people around the world. Lord, we do take the opportunity to lift Robert before your throne of grace. And we pray, Lord, that he might be liberated from the hell of reincarnation and find what his mother has, the hope of resurrection, which is an absolutely certain hope. Lord, may the testimony, not just of her lips, but the testimony of her love and life, be so compelling that Robert makes a U-turn on the road of life, that he finds Jesus Christ to be his all, that he finds not only the port of salvation, but he goes beyond that port to find that the shipwrecked, ultimately on their journey to union with God. Father, we do not pray this vainly. We're not muttering into the air. We know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even now, the one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, listen to our words and care about our circumstances. So please, Lord, continue to be the balm of Gilead in the life of Margaret, and through the prayers of God's people, reach Robert through the power of your Spirit. Again, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Margaret.
And bless you. May I say just one quick more thing?
Sure.
My son was awarded the Air Medal for flying in over 50 missions in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, this man has been through an awful lot in his military career, et cetera.
Wow.
So, thank you. I'm at the verge of tears, so I'm going to let you go, and thank you so much. God bless you, and my love to you.
My love to you as well. I'm so glad we met on the air. Let's see if I can just, so many people hanging on. Let me at least get one call in. This will have to be very quick. James, Dallas, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, James. I want to try to answer your question as quickly as I can because I got less than a minute.
Okay, I understand. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to, for your ministry, for you, for your books you've written. I've listened to you since the 90s, since I was in high school. And right now, your ministry, you and your family, and of course, your health are in my prayers. But I had a quick question on the canon. I read in Luke, where Luke tells Theophilus, hey, you know, a lot of people have taken, you know, an orderly account. I'm going to do the same thing to make sure that you're certain of the things you've been taught. And then in Corinthians, Paul says that he wrote another letter. So my question is, being that there's other sources and also the theory of Q, what determined the 27 books of the New Testament canon?
Okay, I'm going to have to give you a short soundbite to be elaborated if you look on the web, a lot of resources that we have on this subject. But the soundbite, the early church fathers accepted books as part of the canon on the basis that they were widely used within the churches and ultimately traceable to the authority of the apostles and the prophets. Much more could be said. This is a deep well subject, but unfortunately up against a time clock. So we're going to be off in 20 seconds. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for all those that dialed in. I will try to get to more calls on to Monday's edition of the BioAnswerMan broadcast, Lord willing. And again, please stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Prayerfully, financially, what you do makes a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam,
Are all religions man-made? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.